Welcome to Beauty in the Gi, the podcast about jujitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a purple belt full of curiosity and questions about jujitsu and I'm so much more.
Sorry, there was a pause and I was like, it's my turn.
We're out of practice doing this together.
We're out of practice. I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone has missed you.
Oh, I'm sure. They just missed me terribly.
Of course.
It feels good to be back. It was a fun summer sabbatical.
Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. Rissa and I had fun doing it. I am, again, out of the closet. Because we have been doing all of our recordings in the closet together because it's the quietest place in the house with
Oh, I thought maybe you had something else to tell me. Like,
not again. You already know. But no, Rissa and I enjoyed taking over for the summer. And I'm sure, you know, she'll have guest appearances again. But
oh, yeah.
But I'm sure people are happy to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be back. What's on your mind today?
A couple weeks ago was Worlds and the CGI tournament. So I thought we'd kind of talk about whether or not you protect your opponent.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. What are your thoughts initially?
I think, you know, it depends on what it is, right?
And what do you mean by protect? Okay. Let's define that first.
Yeah, let's define it. Basically, do you wait for the ref to pull you off when you have a submission? Or do you respect the tap, I guess? And this is really hard. I think that I grew up in jiu-jitsu that it was like you wait till the ref to pull you off. Mm-hmm. I think if you can hold a submission and not like super injure somebody, then okay. But if it's going to require breaking or if you know your opponent's unconscious and you know they're unconscious,
yeah,
maybe you just let go.
Yeah.
So that's my quick thought on it. Uh-huh. So why this came up was, for starters, there were a couple of controversial taps in the CGI tournament. The first one, I don't think the guy tapped. Like, it was one of those, like, he kind of places his hand and, like, and, you know, at first I was like, ah, and then on the replay, I'm like, I don't think he tapped. I legitimately do not think he tapped. The ref said that he did. Mm. So we're talking in our Discord, and one of our people was like, that's just a good reminder. Like, you don't let go. You take it home. You basically, like, you wait for the ref to pull you off. And I was like, you know, for CGI, there's a $1 million prize.
Yeah, I might be tempted to hang on.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm much more likely to take a heel hook home, which it was a heel hook. You know, like, I'm much more likely to take that home with $1 million on the line, of course. Yeah. And $1 million. So one person doesn't get it. They're splitting it amongst their team. So then there's even more pressure, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you're like, I'm doing this for the whole team. But for a $5 medal.
Yeah. At the local Masters 5.
Yeah. I mean, you know, definitely not at like a Fuji or know, something like that. But like, if we're talking even Master Worlds, like, do you break something for a world title?
That's a good question.
How about you? What would you do?
Oh, man. If there was $1 million on the line, I would probably be tempted to make sure I hang on to that.
Yeah.
At the local tournament, if I know somebody is passed out,
yeah,
I'm going to let go. I feel like that's just how I would initially react. Mm-hmm. I would kind of hope that would be what I would do.
So, and you know, like, my thought previously was with a choke, I'm going to hold on till the ref takes me off.
Yeah.
With the thought process of, one, I've had a girl in a choke before. I had her in a baseball bat choke, and she went limp, and I was like, okay, cool. She's unconscious. I let go. She took my back and choked me unconscious, which is very sad.
That's so sad.
You know, one of those moments. She definitely faked me out, so good on her. But then there's the story of, like, Anna Carolina, who did CGI as well, and she will not fight for the Federation anymore because she was choked unconscious and the ref never paid attention. And she was continually choked after she was unconscious. And they ended up having to call an ambulance. Oh, and like, from what I understand, the Federation like did nothing. They didn't call the ambulance. Her wife did.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, like she was in the hospital for a couple days. Nobody checked on her. And she was she's a big name, you know, like she was doing all their tournaments and winning a bunch of stuff. I was there when she beat Elizabeth Clay a few years ago.
Like, oh, wow.
She's very good. Mm-hmm. And so now I realize that, you know, even choking, you know, like, I mean, which makes sense, but you just assume that when somebody goes unconscious, the ref notices.
You would think.
Although I've also been coaching before when my guy choked somebody else unconscious. And actually, Andre Gaval was the other coach. And we were like, your guy's out. And, you know, like, they didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the ref's not noticing, the coach isn't noticing, like, it can be very scary. So
at that point, can you ask the ref? I mean, I know we're not supposed to talk during the match, but
I mean, we were yelling at the ref, he's out. If that were my fighter, I would throw something in the ring.
Okay.
Like, what are they going to do? Disqualify me? My guy's already unconscious. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like I told Risser, if she would have been the one unconscious on the mat, I'd have been over the barrier. I would have been like tackling the other girl, get off of her. She's unconscious.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot going on. Like sometimes you don't have the good view or you don't, but the ref, that is their job. Like,
yeah.
I recognize that there's some human error possible, but like, the safety of the grapplers is one of the most important things.
Yeah.
Which is another reason I wanted to talk about it, because I was watching Hillary Van Ornum's match in the Open.
What tournament was this?
This is still at Worlds.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I know I'm going back and forth between the two. This is at Master Worlds. It was in the Open, her match right before she ended up fighting Rachel. Rachel Casillas, in case you don't know. We have maybe mentioned her in a couple episodes.
If you are new to the podcast, we've got a starter pack for you. I've got a link to it in the show notes.
But Hillary's fighting, and the ref is talking to the scorekeepers about, you know, like, did they score the wrong person or whatever. I don't remember what the circumstance was, but he was not watching the fighters. And I was like, first, my thought was, well, it's lucky that no one's gotten a sweep or something, because he wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
He would not have noticed. And then I was like, it's lucky they're both safe.
Yeah.
And so that's another moment of like, if there would have been a submission that the ref wouldn't have stopped because he's not paying attention, are you keeping your opponent safe? Is that something you would do? Do you feel like you have any responsibility in that? And I'm sure we're going to get very different thoughts and processes on this. But to me, you know, like, this is Master Worlds. We're all old.
we're all
coming in broken. And for me personally, even a world title isn't enough to make me purposefully hurt someone.
Right.
Now, $1 million, I don't know. Of course, as we're talking about this, the women weren't given $1 million. Let's just be clear. The women were fighting for $100,000, which is still a fantastic purse, but it is not equal pay. Now, I also recognize there was a full men's bracket. There were, 40 guys altogether competing versus the 4 women competing. But there could have been a full women's bracket.
Yeah.
Not that I could have stayed up late enough for all of that. I was already up until 3:20 watching the women's division.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so what are your thoughts on this?
For me personally, competing at Masters 5, I'm going to back off.
Yeah.
If I were lucky enough to be in that position.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's just start with that. But yeah, I'm not going out there to intentionally physically hurt somebody. Right. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do the best fight that I've got in me. But I feel like that moral, I don't want to say moral compass, but just that
empathy. It feels like empathy to me.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
Especially because I think I'm always going to go for the choke, at least at this point in my game, as opposed to like the arm bar,
something like that.
Right.
Now, with that said, I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't times where you've got a submission and something pops or, you know, like injuries happen. Injuries happen in training sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm not saying like, I'm going to like keep ripping it and keep letting it pop and break because the ref isn't pulling me off. Like if you tap, I'm probably letting go.
Well, yeah. Whether the ref sees it or not.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think I've told the story before, but Nogi Worlds, however many years ago, the girl got me in a standing guillotine and she was taller than me and she had me like off my feet. Like, oh, it was brutal. And I'm just tapping like crazy. And the ref isn't stopping her. He's not stepping between us. And she spins me around so that my hand is facing the ref. And
Oh, really?
Oh, like, so yeah.
That he could see?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And he like breaks us up and I am basically unconscious on my feet. Like I've just got my hands on my knees just trying to let the light come back.
Oh my gosh.
And I thanked her afterwards.
Yeah.
Like I knew what she was doing. I knew that she wasn't going to let go until the refs stepped in. And I was thankful she spun me to where, because I had no idea where the ref was. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting the life choked out of me. But yeah, I was thankful that, you know, she did that. And maybe you do say something to the ref. Like if you're choking someone and they go unconscious and the ref doesn't stop you, like maybe it's like, ref, although if they're unconscious, you could let go and they're convulsing and you're like, okay, that's obviously I choked them unconscious.
Right.
But then people fake it. There's also the single tap, you know, like that's why I'm very adamant in class where I'm like, you cannot tap one time.
Yeah.
Like people don't know if it's a post or a grab or what, like it should be multiple taps because people don't know whether or not to let go because they don't know if it was a tap, but also people fake it.
Yeah.
People do that like, oh, I didn't tap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second controversial one in the CGI, it was like four taps. It was literally one, two, three, four. And he was like, I didn't tap. I was like, you can't get more obvious. That's a tap. Sorry, Gio. That's a tap. So, what is your opinion? Audience, friends?
Yeah, we want to hear from you. I did not watch any of those matches, so I'm just here for the vibes.
Yeah.
It was good. And to press buttons.
It was good and it was boring. The first night was very boring. A lot of them were just stalling out. They weren't getting submissions. And then the second night, Craig Jones put a $50,000 bounty on every submission. So if you got a submission and you were a man, you got a $50,000 bonus.
But he didn't do that for the women?
No, he doesn't really mean equal pay. He means equal pay for competing. So everybody that competed did get $10,000 to compete.
Okay.
So
good.
They all got that equal pay. But beyond that, I would like to see him do reverse it. Let's do it again, but reverse it. Put four men out there to do their little tournament bracket and put 40 women out there and do the whole thing with women. Put $1 million on the line for the women. And
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. Wouldn't that be
cool? That'd be really cool. I think it would be like how they had it set up too, where there were like five known teams and three like what they called misfit teams. Uh-huh. So they like held, I assume, a tournament. I know nothing about this.
But it feels very dodgeball to
me. But you know, like, so they held a tournament in Europe and one in Australia and one in America. I'm making this part up. This is just how I assume they got these people. And the winners of every weight class got to be on a tournament in one of the teams.
That's cool.
So they were the American Misfits, the Europe Misfits, and the Australasia Misfits.
I like it.
Yeah.
The above average Joes, since they had to win something to
exactly.
get there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's reverse it. Next CGI. Let's give the women the stage.
I would watch that.
Same. See?
I would so watch that.
Yeah.
I think all of our listeners would watch that too.
I think so too.
Okay. As we very smoothly segue to on and off the mat tips, I'm getting back in to practice. I've been out for a few months.
I just got the hang of welcome to Petey and the Key. But when I hear it come on in the car, you know, like, because I'm subscribed, obviously, and it'll be the next podcast playing, I'll be like, ah, oh, right, it's me. It startles me every time. I'm used to it being your voice.
That's funny. Okay, so on and off the mat tips for this week, then. On the mat.
Oh my God, we're bringing back on and off the mat tips. How long have you been gone? We've got real out of practice for this.
Oh, did you not do them while I was gone?
Neither did we when we were still together. We had really let this fall to the wayside.
And I like it. I like the on and off the mat tips.
I do too. I absolutely do. We're bringing it back.
Okay. So on the mat, then, when it comes to do you let go? Do you not let go?
Oh, yeah. There are no medals in practice.
Yeah.
You're not even going for a $5 medal.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to let go. I never want to injure my teammates. Don't break your toys. Absolutely, I'm going to let go in class. And I'm never going to rip anything.
Right. That would make me so sad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you injure your partners, they're not going to want to partner with you again. So,
right.
You know, accidents happen. Absolutely. Yes. But accidents, not purpose.
Right. How do we take this off the mat?
Don't be a jerk. Don't purposefully hurt someone. Protect the people around you.
I like it. Yeah. It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
Right. I feel like that extends to like even online, in person, like wherever. Because, you know, tensions, things are tense out there in the world off the mat.
They definitely can be. Absolutely.
In upcoming episodes, we're also going to get back to breaking down a rule. Mm-hmm. I got plans
got
for
plans.
Us. I got plans
we're,
for
we're
you.
We're getting back into it. All right.
Where I get to be the boss.
That's because she does all the editing. And I just say words.
What do you have coming up?
Well, Role Model is hosting the White Belt Camp coming up.
That's right.
We call it White Belt Camps because it's easy, digestible information that white belts can understand. But it is on open guard. We'll be doing lots of different guards throughout the weekend. And we have every rank registered. So white through black belt, we have registered now, but we do have a few spots left. That is October 17th through the 19th.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and it'll be here at the gym. We keep it pretty small. We want to be able to really walk around and work with everybody and really increase everyone's guard game.
Love it.
Yeah.
Actually, I won't love it.
Because you'll be out of town.
Because I'll be out of town, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be in trouble.
Excellent.
I'm going to have a hard time with guard. Well, with everyone else's.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. Luckily, we're in passing month right now, so you just have to really increase your passing game before that.
Okay. Goals. Got to have goals. New purple goals.
Yes. We didn't talk at all about, like, how you feel about being a purple belt.
I feel pretty excited.
Good. It's a pretty color.
It is. It's so pretty.
I think purple's the best belt.
I think so too. I'm very excited. I wasn't chomping at the bit for it. Yeah. I just felt like I was perfectly content sitting at four stripes on that blue belt.
Yeah,
I was like, this is cool.
A nice place to
I'm
be.
I'm good here. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I can stay here as long as I need.
Yeah.
But purple's nice.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again.
Thank you very much. I know there's more.
I
mean, we got a little distracted.
That's true. That's true.
There's more coming up.
I guess a couple more things, but we're looking into 26 now. Costa Rica camp. So we go to Costa Rica almost every year. We did not go in 25, so I'm really missing it. I can't wait. It's at the Hero Academy in Tamarindo, and they basically run camps to pay for their non-for-profit. So that non-for-profit, they have all their kids trained for free. They supply their uniforms, their school supplies. During COVID, they were feeding the families. Like, it's a very, very cool non-for-profit. And our camp is part of what helps pay for that. So Role Models are going down February 8th through the 13th, I believe. You can check it out at herobjj.com. Everyone's welcome. Right now, I think we currently have 4 black belts registered, but I know of at least 4 others talking about coming.
Nice.
So it's going to be a really fun event. Like, I'm super excited. Actually, one person that is registered right now might be a black belt by then. So we might already have another. So yeah,
that's exciting.
I'm so excited. So come down, train in paradise with us, and also we'll surf if you want to. We'll go on a nice sunset boat cruise, all kinds of fun stuff.
And roll outside.
Yeah, on the hillside.
On the hillside.
Overlooking the ocean. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, that and surfing.
Right.
And the food.
Oh, the food.
The food.
Yes, I know.
Good times.
It's going to be so good. So check it out. Come join us. Spend the week with us in Tamarindo.
All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in. We want to hear your thoughts on what would you do? Like, do you hang on to that submission or do you let it go? You can comment on Spotify if you're listening there, or you can also comment on YouTube if you're watching there. And if you just want to message us on Instagram, we are hanging out there at Beauty and the Gee Podcast. I'm also there at Brassy Broad Jen and on the TikTok at Brassy Broad Jen and LinkedIn as Jen Eads. Super professional.
Super professional. I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, including TikTok.
Yay!
Yes.
All right, friends, we will see you on the mat. Beauty and the Gee is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company
and brought to you by Role Model Grappling.